may be unique to the millennials is their experience, at least early data is indicating they want to be more in an urban area than out in the suburbs. So some of how fast we see this regreening is yet to really be seen, because this generation is not yet fully flexed their muscle on where they're going to make their decisions to live and raise a family.
Unless they're starting to raise their family at a little bit older ages.
Now, you deal with metropolitan areas that are larger than Omaha and using your data, correct?
That's correct.
Do you see a lot of that with the, because I was just up in Minnesota this week. In fact, we were talking about schools where my niece and nephew went, and I knew this was kind of coming up. You see the school districts that are like those first ring subdivisions, suburban school districts. They live and die by their programming choices, don't they, when they want to attract kids or keep people moving into the community?
I think the best comparison probably is to the St. Louis area, because they have a similar program as your learning community. And the districts that are those first-tier suburbs, they are having a difficult challenge, because the where people live, there's fewer people. Just like we've been commenting here in this presentation, up on the north side, there's fewer people to actually live in the district and populate the schools. So the programming choices become very critical in order for you to provide the programming that right now the rest of the district benefits from by some of the decisions you've made with the learning community students.
Yeah, because I just kind of see it similar, like maybe what they had in Kansas City. They built all the brand new high schools, these Taj Mahals, but didn't track the kids because the parents were looking for the quality of the programs. They were looking for specific programs, and I'm not too worried about what OPS builds, because they're purchasing land with this bond issue, then they're going to build the high school with their next bond issue. That'll be down there. I think people will still be looking at Millard and its programs. So I think it'd be interesting, Jim, to see what other first-ring suburban schools do with the differentiation program, because I think we've hit the mark with that. I mean, people have always come to us because of those programs, and I like your idea about the southwest part of the district of maybe doing something there to deal with that capacity, because I think 15, 20, 25 years from now, people will live in Millard, move to Millard, or send their kids to Millard because of those quality program choices. I think that's going to be key in using this data.
Jim, I've got a question for you, too.
Yep.
Have you guys given any thought to the Millard Lumber property being built up into apartments and stuff, and how many?
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. That 250 units of what are supposedly going to be pretty high end rent places.
It'd be high end.
Yeah, we do not get a lot of student enrollment from high end rent apartments. And I think they're looking at $1,100 a month for those apartments, is what I was hearing kind of the scuttlebutt on. We talked about that in our last meeting.
The key for you as you observe some of these projects being built is, one, is what the rent rate is, two, what are the amenities that will be there, and then the third, which I think is even more important, and it kind of drives both of those, is the number of bedrooms. If we see more three-bedroom apartments, then we have a greater chance of students, but the bulk of the higher end tend to be one-bedroom or two-bedroom.
Good question, Paul.
Well, the future certainly with the redistricting that we did, certainly does seem to have leveled out in these buildings. So the redistricting, I think, did its job, obviously.
Any other further questions for Rob?
I just wanted to summarize a couple of things. So I want to make sure everybody's heard the same things. Number one, we're going to start attacking the open enrollment part on the north side of our district, where we can add that fourth section of kindergarten. If there is a need, we would go ahead and add that section, because that's going to keep Kiewit and North Middle School full, and that's going to keep North Middle School full, and that's going to help with our efficiency. If there isn't a need, then we wouldn't add that section, but we won't know until we get through the open enrollment process. Number two is we want to begin to explore the potential of a mini magnet program on the southeast side of our district, start putting out some feelers for that to see if that will drive the enrollment at Disney. As long as that program can be full, then it runs at an efficient, it runs with it at an efficient level. It's not really an expenditure to say, and the fact that we would be shifting kids around our district and then topping that off with open enrollment kids.
But Jim, if we started a mini magnet there, like either an IB or a core, I guess I would probably go more the IB route. What is the